Our next reading this morning comes from a variety of verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Our main focus will come from the beginning and ending verses today. However, I felt it was important to include the middle section as well for context. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and ever undergo discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter roots grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the messages you give to us each and every day. May we hear what you're trying to teach us today and bless others as we put it into practice. Give us open hearts and ears to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm sure you couldn't really tell this morning, but I've never been much of a runner. In fact, if I could run even partway around the block, that would likely be classified as a small miracle. I deeply admire those that do run. I'm a bit envious that their knees are perhaps a little less aged or at least not as broken down as mine. Perhaps you could say I'm even jealous that others can run without looking like a flailing neighborhood idiot. I'm rather turned off by those who don't hyperventilate when they're even just walking at a speed greater than a brisk walk. However, I do enjoy listening to stories of those who stay the course of running, especially when the going gets tough. They are such a source of inspiration for us all, and I especially enjoy watching the faces of the Olympic athletes as they cross the finish line after an epic world qualifying race, filled with pride and determination and gratefulness. They don't stop for much partway through the race. They persevere and finish, often pushing away aches and pains and other things that stand in the way of them and the finish line. Those races can be much like our faith journey. When people begin their Christian walk and then later quit when the going seems to get tough, too often they become an object of ridicule to some and a source of discouragement to others. That itself is one reason why Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is so important. In this passage, the Christian life is not compared to a wind sprint, but to a marathon. In a wind sprint, you run as fast as you can for a short distance, and speed is the critical factor. But in a marathon, stamina and endurance is the critical factor. Paul proclaimed, "I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only." Finishing the race. Finishing the race is critically important for all of us who would call ourselves followers of Christ. The chapter today begins with the word therefore, and that connects it with the previous chapter. Chapter 11 in Hebrews speaks of the followers who were found to be faithful. In verse 7, the writer mentions Noah. Remember him? He spent 120 years of his life building an ark. 120 years. Now, I must confess that patience is likely not one of my finer virtues, and I'm sure Jared would give an amen to that one. Because every once in a while, when something I'm concerned about or something that we are working on moves too slowly, I grow anxious and frustrated and often complain. But then I can hear the voice of Noah whisper, "Really? How long have you been waiting for this?" The list in Hebrews goes on. There's Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David, all of these people who were part of the great cloud of witnesses who have finished the race without ever giving up. When we feel like giving up, we must press on. We must persevere. To help us persevere, we should plant a stake at specific times and look back at it every now and then and remember that in that place is where God touched me. In that place is where God used me. In that place is where God taught me an unforgettable life lesson. How many of us have stakes here at St. John's? Those moments when you felt utterly connected to God. Those moments when the Spirit is alive and well and whipping through this place. I have many of these stakes placed here. 20 years ago this month began my ministry here at St. John's. Seems hard to believe. And at times, while some seasons have felt like marathons, others have felt like a sprint. As I look back on the stakes in my time here, I am in awe of it all. I've experienced growth in my own personal faith from lessons and stories you've all shared with me. I've become more confident in seeing myself as the person God created me to be, as he's used me in different areas of ministry with various colleagues over the years. I've seen an amazing cloud of witnesses to the love and grace of Jesus here in this church, some of whom who have already gone on before us, and many of whom who still sit in these pews today. I'm beyond blessed by all they have done for me, for my family. I am in awe of what they do for the greater community, and for each of you. So many times they've put things aside that hindered them because they didn't want anything to keep them from reaching their goals. There were moments when I absolutely questioned some of the things that have happened and the motives around them, but I've tried to never stand in the way of God's plan for St. John's. I've tried to continue running the race. Many years ago, during one of our stewardship campaigns, I asked Jim Smith to share the importance of giving financially to our church. His wife, Lois, came in to see me in my office the week before Jim was to share in a bit of a panic, knowing that what Jim was going to say may turn some people off. I nodded in agreement and said that's what should happen. We all need to feel uncomfortable at times, especially about giving to the church. Little did I know that during my chat with Lois that Jim would be speaking just to me that Sunday he spoke. Oh, don't get me wrong, the pews were fairly full, but I believe his message was just for me. As Jim talked about the things we buy in life, about some of the senseless things we spend money on rather than giving more to the church, I was personally convicted. Now, we already gave to the church and donated a lot of extra time and resources that are huge gifts in and of itself. But in that moment, I knew we needed to give more financially. Why? Because I'm called to give financially as a faithful follower of Christ. Because as a follower of Christ, I want to further the work of God's kingdom here at St. John's for years to come. In our lives, there are many things that we want and many more wants that we already have. Our wants outweigh our needs. But I believe we want our church to be one that is going to continue to be there for us. We want our church to be there for our future generations so they too can come and plant their stakes and experience Jesus through this church family. We need our church to be sustained independently, financially secure. It can be hard to give, but let me reassure you that when we bless the church with our givings, we are blessed in return. Do you remember the story of when Jesus came to the house of Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus looked into the face of Jesus? Some of his wealth he had gained dishonestly. And he said, I'm going to give it back foretold because I can't look into the eyes of Jesus and keep this dishonest money at the same time. Maybe like me, you have possessions that are hindering your witness for Christ or are distracting you from serving him. Maybe like me, you need to get rid of some habits that may in and of themselves not be sins, but they are so time-consuming or distracting that you can't focus on Jesus. We live in a world today where mainline churches are closing their doors each and every day, and other churches are amalgamating in order to make ends meet. Let us run with perseverance. Let's keep this race going here, because I firmly believe, as I know Sheila does too, that this marathon at St. John's isn't finished yet. We've been down hard stretches before, and the race before us has often been a struggle. Yet we've climbed that next hill. We've never given up, nor given in to the temptation to quit the race. When we feel like giving up, we must press on. We must persevere. We need to continue to plant those stakes so that those who will be part of St. John's long after our time here is done can meet Jesus here like we have, and who can experience some of the same blessings we all have. Today, you'll be receiving a stewardship letter as we begin to plan for our next church year and continue to look ahead at the future of St. John's. Now, I know that sounds scary, and you may want to avoid the person coming at you with the white envelope with your name on it, but please take your mail. If there isn't one for you, be sure to find Cindy McQuaig so that she can give you one. We value all that you already give to St. John's, no matter how big or small your gifts are. And we're thankful for your spiritual discipline to give to our church. Now, I should have started today by saying that I'm not one who is ever comfortable speaking about finances, especially church ones. But I believe that God put it on my heart to speak about the need for all of us to consider giving in a greater way to the life and work here at St. John's. Or at least to be open and prayerful about it, and consider how you might be able to allow for this in your family. As I was preparing for the message this morning, and perhaps stressing a little bit, a friend of mine shared this story with me. It's the story of Mr. and Mrs. Thing, a bit of a bedtime story that perhaps you'll think about as you drift off to sleep tonight. Mr. and Mrs. Thing are a very pleasant and successful couple. At least that's the verdict of most people who tend to measure success with a thingometer. When the thingometer is put to work in the life of Mr. and Mrs. Thing, the result is startling. There's Mr. Thing sitting down on a luxurious and very expensive thing, almost hidden by a large number of other things. Things to sit on, things to sit at, things to cook on, things to eat from, all shiny and new. Things, things, things. Things to clean with and things to wash with and things to clean and things to wash. And things to assume, things to amuse, things to give pleasure and things to watch and things to play. Things for the long, hot summer and things for the short, cold winter. Things for the big thing in which they live, and things for the garden, and things for the deck, and things for the kitchen, and things for the bedroom. And things on four wheels, and things on two wheels, and things to put on top of the four wheels, and things to pull behind the four wheels, and things to add to the interior of the thing on four wheels. Things, things, things. And there in the middle are Mr. and Mrs. Thing, smiling and pleased as punch with things, thinking of more things to add to these things, secure in their castle of things. Do they sound familiar? Mr. and Mrs. Thing may be secure in their castle of things, but that's not the end of the story. Here it is. Well, I just want you to know that your things can't last. They're going to pass. There's going to be an end to them. Oh, maybe an error in judgment, maybe a temporary loss of concentration, or maybe you'll just pass them off to the second-hand thing dealer. Or maybe they'll wind up a mass of mangled metal being towed off to the thing yard. And what about the things in your house? Well, it's time for bed. Put out the cat. Make sure you lock the door so some thing taker doesn't come and take your things. And that's the way life goes, doesn't it? And someday, when you die, the only thing that is left is put in a box. You. Sure, we can all relate in some way to the story of Mr. and Mrs. Thing. We may know them. We may be them. We have an awesome church here that we are all excited about. Many of you shared a couple of weeks ago at soup lunch about your passion and vision for our continued years as a church, about your gratitude for this place that is a cornerstone in your life, about this place that is filled with joy and this place that can reach out to you in times of need. We are in this marathon at St. John's together, offering amazing church, fabulous people, and most importantly, sharing the good news of our great God. So today I challenge all of us to tie those laces tighter on our shoes, to get into the starting position, and let us keep running this race set out before us, working together, following and giving to Christ as he calls, leading the way by example for those around us, and those yet to come.